Caro, Eric. Gisborne, New Zealand. October 26, 1893. My dear young friend, Eric Caro, I feel a deep interest in you, as I do in every young man and woman who has left New Zealand for America. If you place yourself on the side of Christ, decidedly and without reserve, you will take the position that it is the duty of every youth to take. And in doing this, you will choose associates who will be a help instead of a hindrance to you. There are youth whose characters are cast in an inferior mold. If you are necessarily brought into association with this class, you may, through the grace of Christ, stand firmly by that which reason and conscience tell you is right. Then, your character will not be cheapened by their tenor of thought, or be fashioned according to their standard. In the development of character, you want to grow up to the full stature of a man, that God may write you thus in His book. You will then be not only a man as estimated by human judgment, but a man in the sight of God. The very best thing you can do is to enlist freely and decidedly in the army of the Lord. Surrender yourself, your will, your ways, to be guided by the One who is unerring in wisdom and infinite in goodness. When you yield yourself to keep the ways of the Lord, you will be doing the work that you should have done long ago. In neglecting to do this, you have deprived your soul of precious blessings which might have been yours. In withholding yourself from God, you have been robbing Him of that which is His own. This morning, October 26, 1893, I say to you, the Lord hath need of you, and you have need of the Lord. Make the surrender to Jesus Christ straightway. You mean to be a Christian, but you have thought that at some future time it would be easier than now to take the decisive step. It is not safe for you to delay this matter 1 hour. If you have not already given your heart to God, I beseech you to do it now. Let your name be enrolled in the heavenly records as one of the chosen and elect of God. Another year has nearly ended. Are you pleased with the record that it bears? Will you be pleased to meet its record in that great day when every case shall be decided? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Revelation 20, verse 12. How easy it is for us to drift with the current and live unmindful of God, thinking that to enlist in His service is a species of slavery. This is the way Satan presents the matter. But it will be for your interest to consider the matter in the true light. You are the Lord's property, His by creation, His by redemption. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. What a gift for God to make! And oh, how sad that so few accept this precious gift! What a terrible history humanity must meet in that great day, because they refused the priceless offering, the richest gift God could bestow. Through this inestimable gift, all our blessings come. Life, health, friends, reason, happiness, all are ours only through Christ. Will you, dear Eric, consider this? Will you seek to realize it? And in all you have, will you acknowledge the ownership of your Creator? You are not your own. When you were under the control of a cruel master, even the Prince of Darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the ransom for you. You have been bought with a price, even the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are His property. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit which are His. Render to Him willing heart service, and no longer rob God of that which is His own. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6, verse 23. It is your privilege to be a faithful soldier in the army of the Lord. Time is short. Work while the day lasts, living an imperishable life, because your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 4. Jesus has given His precious life for you, that you may be a partaker of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. through His holy word, by His providence, and through the messages given you by His servants, Jesus is daily saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. Ere this year closes, give yourself to Jesus as a New Year's offering, a pledge of your grateful love. But for the love freely given of Christ, we should now be in spiritual hopelessness, in the midnight of despair. Thank the Lord every day that He gave us Jesus. Will you not accept the gift? Will you not be His witness? I was very sorry when I heard that some of the New Zealand students had decided that they could do as well to attend school at Ann Arbor as in Battle Creek. Students who are taking the medical course may see it essential to complete their studies at Ann Arbor, but those who are not really obliged to go might far better remain in Battle Creek. You are in much greater danger in Ann Arbor than you would be in Battle Creek, for you do not have the religious privileges at the former place that you might enjoy at the latter. It is true that many who go to Battle Creek are disappointed because they do not find that life there is free from trials. Let me tell you that Satan's fiercest efforts are put forth where the most vital, eternal interests are concerned. There are excellent, God-fearing Christians in Battle Creek, those who possess the genuine article, the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. But there are also many who drift in there, seeking to receive benefits from our institutions, who are far from being circumspect Christians. Their lives are not an example for anyone to follow. Let the youth who go to the college at Battle Creek, or to the sanitarium, consider that wherever a large number are associated together in church capacity, there will be found persons of almost every stamp of character. They have had a widely different training and education. Among so many, some will be found whose characters are peculiarly objectionable. Those who remember this will not be so greatly disappointed because they find tares among the wheat. The gospel net gathers both good and bad fish. The tares spring up wherever there is wheat. The question was asked of Christ concerning the tares, "Wilt thou that we go and gather them out?" His answer was, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root out also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Matthew 13, verse 28-30. God does not lay upon finite human beings the responsibility of discovering the tares and rooting them up. At the time of the harvest, He will send His angels to gather the wheat into His garner, and then the tares will be bound into bundles to be burned. All who go to Battle Creek should feel that they are privileged to hear the most precious counsel, the most valuable expositions of Scripture, and that, if they choose, they may gather up lessons of priceless worth. If their will is in harmony with the will of Christ, they may choose the very best of associations, companions who will help them in right doing, and they may shun the objectionable society that it is easy to find in any place, that will give them no aid in the development of right principles and noble, elevated purposes. Now, if our youth choose the companionship of those who may entice them to evil habits and practices, they will surely become contaminated, while at the same time they will be highly dissatisfied with themselves because conscience condemns them. Everyone who wishes to form a character according to the divine model has the opportunity of receiving precious help in Battle Creek. Students who are weak in moral power can and should choose the companionship of those who will be a help and a blessing to them, those with whom they can converse with profit. The true Christian will be all the time growing in grace and experience. Every soul is surrounded by an atmosphere peculiar to itself. This atmosphere may be full of spiritual malaria, a poison fatal to the principles of righteousness. When we are brought in contact with others, it will not take days or weeks for us to ascertain whether the atmosphere we inhale is from Christ or from Satan. We are all more or less dependent upon one another, and this is especially true in the association of school life. The student who comes to the school with an earnest purpose to be a help and a blessing to his fellows will seek companions who will aid him in his efforts to be right and to do right. It is the very best thing he can do to cast his influence on the right side. All should feel that they are responsible for making their school life wholly a success, that they may not disappoint parents and guardians who work hard and support them in school, and who are deeply anxious both for their present and their eternal well-being. They should determine to make a record that they will not be ashamed to meet in the school or in the judgment. One right-minded, circumspect young man, who will not be swayed by wrong influences, but will act his part to strengthen the right, will have a restraining influence over those in the school who take pleasure in wicked sports and disobedience of rules, and who make the hearts of their teachers sad and discouraged. Our life is a problem which we must individually work out for ourselves. No one can form a character for us. We have a part to act in deciding our own destiny. We are God's free, responsible agents, and we are individually to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, while it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Students may do good, or they may do evil, and that which they sow, they must also reap. There are professed Christians, we are sorry to say, who are Christians in name only, and it will not require a long acquaintance to ascertain that they are successful agents of the wicked one. But will the one who discerns the character of these persons by the fruits they bear be any the less guilty because of their sin, if he follows in their track, doing the things he knows are evil? We are individually on trial. All the heavenly intelligences are enlisted to help every soul that will be drawn to Jesus, and every true lover of Jesus will cooperate with the heavenly angels in working to draw souls away from low, frivolous, foolish practices, to do right because it is right. They will not work on Satan's side of the question, to weaken faith in true religion, to deprave others by surrounding their souls with an atmosphere which is dangerous to the morals and ruinous to the character. There are in our schools persons who are bad at heart, who have a pleasing address, and who fascinate a certain class of minds, so that before they are aware of it, they are changed in sentiment, fashioned after the objectionable character they choose to associate with. All who wear the garb of Christianity, while they are destitute of the Spirit of Christ, who are governed by the maxims and fashions of the world, while they claim to be seeking for heavenly treasures, are as moral corruptors. The atmosphere surrounding them is charged with deadly miasma, and of all companions they are most to be shunned. How the discerning youth understands these characters. Even if he does not himself claim to be a Christian, he can see that they are not Christ-like. And why should he allow them to be a stumbling block to him? Those who see that these defects of character are inconsistent with the Christian profession, who know so well what a godly life should be, will be held responsible for this knowledge. They knew their master's will, and did it not. They should show in their own life and character what is their idea of Christianity. My dear young friend, when you went to America, was it with the expectation that, at Battle Creek, the center of the work, you would find it easier to be a Christian? That change of place would work for you a transformation of character? When you found that humanity in America was very much the same as in New Zealand, were you surprised? You observed that professed Christians were tempted on all points, as every Christian who lives is tempted, as Christ Himself was tempted. But were you in any way warranted in depreciating the Christian believers in Battle Creek because some person, perhaps quite a number, did not have works corresponding to their profession of faith? Did their course of action appear inconsistent to you? You saw that your fellow men professing godliness were in conflict with serious foes. Satan and his angels, combined with evil human agents, were seeking to overcome everyone who believed in God, and you say that the enemy was gaining the victory. How did you feel then? Did you try to help those whom your quick discernment taught you were being attacked by the enemy? Or did you lay your own heart open to the attacks of the tempter? By being unguarded, were you taken captive by Satan to act your part with others in hindering, perplexing, and distressing those who were already burdened by your course of action? We have a powerful enemy, and not only does he hate every human being made in the image of God, but his bitterest enmity is against God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. When men give themselves as willing slaves to Satan, he manifests no special enmity toward them. He has no conflict with them. But all who bear the name of Christ, he hates with a deadly hatred. He knows he can grieve Jesus by deceiving them, by hurting them, making them weak, incapable of doing service as God requires under their captain, Christ Jesus. Satan will let those rest in a measure of peace who are willing captives, bound with chains to his chariot. But when the message of mercy reaches his bondslaves, and they seek to wrench themselves from his power, that they may follow the true shepherd, then, if he can, he binds them with additional chains to hold them in his possession. The conflict really begins when the captive tugs at his chain, longing to be free. When the human agent cooperates with the heavenly intelligences, when faith takes hold upon Christ, then the stronger than the strong man armed is the helper of the soul. Man is strengthened by the Holy Spirit to obtain his freedom. It has made me very sad to learn that you were not cheerful and happy, and that you had written quite decidedly against encouraging any New Zealand youth to go to Battle Creek, saying that they would be in positive danger there. Now, while I recognize the advantages offered by the college at Battle Creek above those of our school in Australia, I do not myself think it wise to encourage young men to go so far from home, at so great expense, unless there is first very careful consideration of the matter, and most solemn, earnest prayer for the counsel of one who never makes a mistake. God has a deep and earnest love for every member of the human family. Not one is forgotten. Not one is left helpless to be deceived and overcome by the enemy. If those who have enlisted in the army of Christ will put on the whole armor of God and wear it, they will be proof against all the assaults of Satan. Those who really desire to be taught of God and to walk in His way have the sure promise. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1, verse 5-8. God is behind every promise, and we cannot dishonor him more than to question and hesitate, ask, and then disbelieve and talk doubt. If you do not immediately receive all that you desire, will you go on sullen and unbelieving? Believe. Believe that God will do just as He has promised. Keep your prayers ascending. Watch, wait, work, and pray. Fight the good fight of faith. Say to your heart, God has invited me to come. He has heard my prayer. His word is pledged that He will receive me, and He will fulfill His promise. I can trust God. For he so loved me that he gave Jesus to die for me. The Son of God is my Redeemer. Ask, and ye shall receive. John 16, verse 24. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Luke 11, verse 13. If our young friends would enter upon their school life in accordance with the instruction God has given me for other students, none of them would be homesick or disappointed. There would be none who knew not what to do with themselves. Every youth needs to find a helper in him who is omnipotent. As young men enter upon their school education, they should seriously consider the question, will they be men of principle? Or will they regard their school life as a time for seeking pleasure and amusement in idle frolic? With this latter purpose, no one should cross the broad waters to attend our schools in America. For all that line of education can be obtained here. It is a solemn thing to die, but it is a far more solemn thing to live and form a character which shall be fitted to enter the higher grade of school in the heavenly courts above. Will the school at Ann Arbor be more favorable than the one at Battle Creek for the development of a character in harmony with God? We are living in an enemy's land, and we may expect difficulty and conflict. To make everything easy and smooth and comfortable for the youth, giving them plenty of money, and leaving them to feel that they need not practice economy or self-denial, would be the worst kind of education they could have. When a youth is entering school, he should carefully consider these questions. What is my motive in coming here? How shall I employ my time in order to obtain the greatest good from all the privileges and opportunities that I enjoy? Shall I put on the whole armor which God has provided for me by giving His only begotten Son for my ransom? Shall I open my heart to the Holy Spirit, that it may arouse and energize every capability which God has given me in trust? I am Christ's property and in His service. I am a steward of His grace. I see that the lives of some who profess to be Christians are not what I, in my finite measurement of character, would think consistent with their profession. I will strive not to grieve the heart of Christ by my own course of action. Others are in danger of being influenced by the inconsistencies that I observe. I will not add my influence in the downward way. I am fighting for the crown of life. I will not rest satisfied with meeting a low standard. The Lord accepts no halfway work. There must be, on my part, no blundering in the sacred work of God. I will not trust myself, but I will surrender my will and my ideas and my ways to God and do His will. I will live to please Him who thought me of such value that He gave me Jesus, His only begotten Son. Through His merits I may be accepted. In my school life, I will keep it always before me that what is worth doing at all is worth doing well. I will depend upon God for wisdom, that I may not discourage one soul in right doing. I will work with Christ in drawing souls to Him. I must not condemn half-hearted work in others, and then, seeing their errors, fail to do even as well as they because of my unwillingness to place myself on the side of right and loyalty. I will be obedient to rules and regulations, even though they seem to me needlessly exacting. I will do my best in everything. Jesus, my Savior, I rely on Thee to help me day by day to sow the good seed and not tares. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Matthew 6, verse 22, 23. Here in Battle Creek, I must see with my brain as well as my eyes. I must educate the mental powers so that my judgment shall not be feeble and inefficient. I must improve every power God has given me. I will pray for guidance. I will commit my way unto the Lord. I will close the door of my heart against all foolishness and sin, and open my heart to every good and heavenly influence. I will make the most of my time and opportunities, that I may develop a symmetrical character. Fun and folly and indolence shall not be entertained as guests. I must form a character by copying the pattern, Jesus Christ, and I must daily become more intelligent as to what I shall do to save my soul. Youthful students, your life cannot be governed by impulse without proving a decided failure. You cannot follow your natural inclination without meeting daily with great loss. If you would move securely, you must keep the way of the Lord. Your understanding must be refined and purified. You must work according to God's plan, else you will make no success at all. You want to grow in knowledge and grow in grace and be ever advancing. You can do nothing acceptably in your school life without system and order. Disorder, haphazard work, will bring certain failure. The question of amusements needs to be carefully considered. What is their influence on the mind, on the character, on your schoolwork? And that which should have weight above every other consideration, what bearing have they on your religious life, your character as a Christian? Do the games in which you participate fit you to engage in prayer and the service of God? Do you bring as much earnestness and life and zeal into the Lord's service as into the games you engage in? Have these amusements absorbed the mind, so that you manifest less interest and zeal in your studies than in the games? Which is to have the supremacy, the service of God, or self-pleasing? Let every student closely examine the ground on which he stands. Let him remember that he is obtaining an education for eternity. He must put persistent effort into his Christian life if he would perfect a right character. It will be to his eternal loss to have a dwarfed, weakly, babyish religious experience. Ye are complete in Him. Colossians 2, verse 10. Please read carefully and prayerfully Colossians 2, verse 1 to 10. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Verse 6. This means that you are to study the life of Christ. Study it with as much more earnestness and energy than you manifest in your games, or even in your secular studies, as eternal interests are higher than any earthly enterprise. If you appreciate the value and sacredness of eternal things, you will bring your sharpest thoughts, your best energies, to the solving of the problem that involves your future well-being. Every other interest sinks into nothingness in comparison with this. You have the pattern, Christ Jesus, Walk in his footsteps, and you will be qualified to fill any and every position that you may be required to occupy. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 7. Yes, you are not to feel that you are a bondslave, but a son of God, that you are highly favored in that you have been regarded as of so great value that God has made you his by paying an infinite ransom for your freedom. He calls you not servants, but friends. An appreciation of such wondrous love will call forth such love and gratitude that your heart will be a wellspring of joy. Instead of complaining, you will send up your thank offerings to God. Do not, even in your religious life, accept one word of flattery, for this is Satan's art, whereby he lies in wait to deceive, to puff up the human agent with high thoughts of himself. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 8. This is the kind of food that many of our youth have been fed upon, and those who spoiled them thought they were doing right, but they were altogether wrong. Praise, flattery, and indulgence have done more to ruin precious souls and lead them into false paths than any other arts Satan can devise. They are a part of the world's policy, but not of Christ's. Through flattery, the human agent, with all his imperfections of character, is puffed up in his fleshly mind. He becomes intoxicated with the idea that he possesses ability which he really has not. He is unbalanced in religious experience, and unless, in the providence of God, he shall be soundly converted and begin to learn his ABCs in the school of Christ, he will lose his soul. Many a youth has been flattered into believing that he possesses ability which can be acquired only through diligent self-training. He comes to think that his powers can be developed without any special taxing effort on his part, and before he is aware, Satan is prepared to take him in his snare. God may permit him to be attacked by the enemy that he may learn his own weakness. He may make some decided blunders, the consequences of which are deeply humiliating to him. He is not then to be judged harshly. This is the time above all others when he needs a judicious counselor, a true friend who has discernment of character, because he is led by the Spirit of God, and who will deal patiently and faithfully with the erring, and lift up the soul that is bowed down. But he is not to receive the food of flattery. No one is authorized of God to deal out this delusive slime of Satan. Let the feet that have been stumbling be placed on the first round of the ladder. With encouraging words, let the erring one be helped to climb step by step, round after round. The effort may be painful to him, but it will be by far the best lesson he has ever learned, to become acquainted with his own weakness, and for the future to avoid similar errors. Through the aid of wise counselors, his defeat will be turned to a victory. Let none attempt to begin on the topmost round of the ladder, but with the lowest round, to mount its whole length step by step, climbing up by Christ, clinging to Christ, ascending to the height of Christ. This is the only way to advance heavenward. To give precedence to amusements or to any interests of this life over those that pertain to the future, eternal life, is a scheme of Satan by which many are beguiled. Let the thoughts, the aptitude, the keen exercise of brain power be put to a higher use in studying the thoughts of God. The Lord has use in his cause for all the powers he has given to man. In the work of his kingdom, we may employ every qualification as faithfully and earnestly as did Daniel. In heathen Babylon, he was faithful to his duty and faithful to his God. God calls for more tact and wise generalship than are given him by his human agents. There is need of sharp thinking and sharp working to counterwork the ingenious plans of Satan. This is called for in our institutions of learning, where the youth are forming characters that will decide their eternal destiny. Many are careless, sporting with their own ruin. They are not ashamed to degrade themselves, and they sink to a low level, in disregard of all the efforts made to uplift them. There is a call for a higher standard, a holier, more determined, self-sacrificing service in the Lord's work. There is no safeguard for anyone but the truth as it is in Jesus. This must be planted in the heart by His Holy Spirit and watered by His grace. Much that is called religion will sink out of sight when assailed by the opposing forces of satanic agencies. Nothing but the truth and wisdom from above can guide, can purify, can bless, and sanctify the soul. None must be led to regard self-indulgence as religion. It is a deception. Let not selfishness be pampered. The youth should learn to restrict their desires and beware of extravagance in the outlay of means. To be rooted and grounded in the truth is our only safety. Looking unto Jesus, contemplating his life and character, following in his footsteps, we are safe. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Verses 9-10. If those who know they should be Christians will give to Jesus that which is precious, their life, their heart service, he will take them just as they are. He will wash away their sins and clothe them in his own righteousness. Will you, Eric, give yourself to Jesus without delay? You want to present a life record of which you will never be ashamed. You may ask, can I do this? Certainly, Jesus loves you, and if you will come to him just as you are, he will accept you. He will pardon all your sins and impart to you his own righteousness. We have only a short time at most in this world, and we should now be diligent to make our calling and election sure. That life which measures with the life of God is of far more value than any of us can estimate. It is an eternal weight of glory and unalloyed happiness. We shall see Jesus. We shall be in his presence and behold the brightness of his countenance outshining the sun. He will lead his flock unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Eric, Jesus has purchased you. Will you consider that you are Christ's property? Will you give him a New Year's offering of yourself without reserve? May the Lord bless you. He is drawing you. He calls you to come to the front, to enlist in his army, to put on the armor and war the good warfare. My soul is drawn out after you. Will you now take your stand? Do not wait for any special feelings, but come just as you are, without delay. Jesus calls, Eric, follow me. Will you obey his call? If you do, you will become a laborer together with God. You will have courage in the Lord. The brightness of heaven will be brought into your life. With sincere regard, your friend.